A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
I'm in Ireland. I am actually drinking a pint of Guinness right now. And
are
I'd love to say that I'm surrounded by the Coors, but I'm not. So two out of those three things, I'm doing all right.
Any members of the Coors in your hotel room at the moment?
I'd love the violinist and the lead singer to be hanging around, but they're not. They're just not, okay? I'm just going to put that out there. Okay, I know.
So where are you in Ireland?
I am near Bangor.
Okay.
And
so north.
I'm in the north. I was in the south yesterday, sort of Dublin, and then went via some nice coastal roads. And then, first time in Ireland and all that. Enjoying it, having fun, loving life, you know.
So this is your first ever trip to Ireland.
Emerald Isle debut. Yes, that's what that is. And it's going by too quickly because I've got to get the ferry at some stupid unholy hour tomorrow morning.
And I
felt like there's unfinished business here. There's still lots to see and do. So I have to come back.
Are you allowed to say what you're doing over there?
I'm driving an electric car, doing a bit of a review, just with some, just like a bit of an interest in little road trip and all that. And I have been in a car cave today. Lovely father and son spec car cave, and I've sat in a couple of Mantas today, and I don't mind telling you.
Oh,
yeah, I have.
Manta,
absolute Manta, and I've stroked.
Are you the Archbishop of Manterbury?
I've never heard that. The Archbishop of Manterbury is so in a white Berlinetta, or would it be? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, ecclesiastical white.
The ecclesiastical white. Berlinetta. That's definitely a...
Yeah, the...
that's a cabaret singer. Yeah, I was going to say.
Okay, so you had a productive time, in there, but you're drinking a...
Yeah, listen.
Drinking a Guinness. How is it?
Do you know what? I had to do the cliche because I've heard the stories. Mm. And by F, it's true. It tastes really smooth.
Yeah.
And I'm not
a
guy.
Guinness drinker? I don't think I've ever seen you drink a Guinness.
No. Do you know when I last drank Guinness? Was just before the millennium, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
So I was a much younger man.
Well.
Yeah.
Talking of things you haven't done for a while.
Yeah.
I went out for a quiet pint last night with a mate. And it really was. It was just a, let's have a couple of beers, you know.
Intimate setting.
Quiet. Went to a lovely little pub in downtown Bath, and it was really quiet. Like, by the time we left, and we left before closing, it was that kind of night.
Yeah.
I think we left at 10, 15, 10:30. We were the last ones there, you know. So it was that kind of low-key evening. But I thought we'd said, when we were arranging to meet, that we were going to go for a curry. And then somehow that plan just fell away. And we had pints.
Oh, just
and
drink.
We hadn't had any dinner at all.
Oh,
or
the
even
danger.
Eaten enough. And I'd done some exercise in the day and I was really quite hungry. And I sort of killed that hunger with another pint. So it wasn't like rolling around on the floor, but I was just a bit like, ooh, I probably need to, I don't know what I'll do on the way home. I'll get some chips. And then I realised the chippy on the way back to my house shuts at 8:30.
Oh, gosh.
So that's no good.
No. I'd be quivering by that point.
Mm. Well, I was suddenly a bit like, I just only start walking and that sort of night air hits you. And I was a bit like, ooh, I think I'm a bit drunk.
Did you say night air?
Night air.
Quite like night air.
The air of the night.
REM never did a song about that. They missed that one, didn't they?
I suppose if I'd chronically misjudged my approach to one of Bath's many historic bridges, I could have been night swimming. But instead, I kept on going. And in one of the sort of open, not quite a square, but one of the kind of open public vistas in the historic city of Bath, there's a bloody kebab van.
Oh, well,
because I guess
that's historic.
The Jordans. Yeah, historic. A Georgian kebab van.
Was it a pre-internet kebab van? It's been there that long.
Well,
it's allowed.
All I can tell you is, I looked and I went, as I got closer, I was like, bloody hell, they do chips. I'm getting some chips. I'm going to get some chips and I'm going to walk home with chips. This is fantastic. My night's just taken a turn for the better. And as I was at the counter, no one else there. And I don't know what came over me, but I went, all right, mate. And I've kebab meat and chips, please.
Oh,
loads of chili sauce.
You filthmonger.
I don't think I've eaten that since the turn of the century.
No, I was just about to say that.
Definitely.
That would have been 1990 something, wouldn't it?
I might have. I'm trying to think. I don't know. It's an easy 20 years since I've had kebab meat and chips because it's filth.
It's filth. It's grot.
Medically, you should only eat it in your 20s and then stop. It's almost like smoking. It's like if you stop early enough, you'd probably be okay, but just don't, God's sake, don't carry on into your 30s and 40s.
Fool's play.
So I have to admit, it hit the spot.
Yeah.
But suddenly the night became very old school because, you know, I'm 47, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm walking home.
Yeah.
In that sort of probably slightly, like, my tracking's out.
I was going to say slightly diagonally, yeah.
So,
you're crabbing.
And I'm eating with a little wooden fork, I'm eating dirty, dirty kebab meat and chips with chili sauce. Nice, punchy chili sauce on there as well.
It makes your lips go fiery. Don't like
really
it.
Really fiery, yeah. And I thought about this, like, maybe I should have got a can of pop, you know, something a bit random as well. But I didn't. I hadn't.
So old fashioned.
But then the walk home then involves eating the kebab meat, having to go for a wee in a building site. Again, very old school. Haven't done that for a long time.
That is brilliant.
But then
that's
also,
brilliant.
I felt like it took me about 2 minutes to get home. I realised from sort of back timing everything that in fact it took me way longer than normal, partly because it's uphill, but also because I think I just got the swerves on. And part way along, you know, there's those little electric scooters that sort of infest a lot of cities now. They've got them here.
They just leave them everywhere.
Yeah. I can't be asked to walk the rest of the way up the hill. I'm going to get one of these scooters.
What?
Yeah.
Did you?
I downloaded the app. I was standing there in the street downloading the app and then trying to go through the process of registering.
Oh, that's dull as fuck.
Yeah, I gave up. I was like, don't be a lazy twat. Just walk home. So I walked home. I didn't. It was only when I got home, I then discovered as well, actually, they shut off at 11 o'clock.
What, the scooters
because of people
do?
Like me. Yeah.
Because it's a beer scooter then, it becomes a beer scooter.
It's because of people like me getting a bit boozed up and they go, I'll just ride home. You know, and you're not supposed to do that. So they save you from yourself by shutting off at closing time. But
I was really hoping you'd say you got one or you already had the app anyway.
Mm.
And that what you were actually you were able to be so relaxed behind the bars that you could use that immense EV torque and just hold the wheelie at high throttle
while eating kebab meat.
And but you never come off the throttle, so all you do is shift your body weight further and further back as you're holding more gas, as it were. But the problem is then you realise you're at Vmax and there's nowhere to go.
We are just stuck in an infinite loop of just be circling the city on the back wheel, just hoping it ran out of battery.
Sort of like pissed up scooter hydrofoiling. Wouldn't you?
I woke up this morning and I had a little cold shiver when I suddenly thought, oh my God, what if I'd got that fucking thing going?
Yeah, would have been amazing.
I shouldn't have been riding a scooter.
No.
On the road.
No. Oh, no, not on the road. On the pavement, definitely, but not
I don't know what's worse, but I'd have probably tried to shortcut. There's a shortcut.
Cross a building site by any chance?
Well, through a park, but it's quite dark and downhill, so there's potential for a proper good comedy accident there. But yeah, I had a little cold shiver. I was like, oh my God, I could have been killed. What a shit way to die.
That would have been awful, because you could have just...
On a little electric scooter.
Could have...
With kebab breath.
You could have cracked your... gone into a horrible low side understeer going round like one of those old Victorian fountains in a park at night. Mm. Cracked your temple on the edge of said ornamental fountain. Not been found until morning by a dog walker.
Yeah.
And people would have gone, oh, that's really sad for that. You know, he's achieved a lot, that guy, in his life, but he decided to just pissed ride in the dark around a park.
Really unheroic way. Oh, also, the post-mortem showed he had 5 pints of Scruttock's Old Blindness in his system and a significant quantity of kebab meat. My wife's disappointed face on receiving
that's
this
right.
news.
Cause of death, very cheap meat.
Yeah.
And but what would have been quite cool was if you'd had the big incident whilst at VMAX and you fell over on your back and the scooter was off the ground and your hand was still pulled right back on the gas, it would still be just going. It would have been doing it all night. The little back wheel would have just been flailing.
Oh,
but
just
you'd be dead.
Breaks, just
sadly.
The battery just dies. Well, what actually happened last night is I eventually got myself home, trudging up the hill.
After your building site piss.
Building site piss. Put the kebab container in a bin. Did do that. Not going to be an oaf and leave it somewhere stupid.
No.
And then I was trapped in one of my own shoes. Couldn't get it off.
You couldn't get one of your own shoes off?
Couldn't get one of my own shoes off because as I tried to remove it, one of the laces knotted and it wouldn't go through the eye hole. They're sort of Converse All-Star style shoes and the knot wouldn't pass through the eyelet right at the top, which meant I couldn't open them up enough to get them off my foot.
Did you go to bed with one shoe on?
I honestly thought about doing it, but I couldn't get my jeans off.
Oh,
so
shit.
So I've had to sleep in my jeans and one shoe. And I honestly thought about it because I was like, these are really nice shoes. I don't want to wreck them by sort of tearing them apart in frustration, but nor am I going to cut the lace because the laces that came with it, and they're really nice laces, they've got little metal ends on them. I was like, I will regret that in the morning, much so it sort of seems like a good idea now. So I didn't get to sleep till like 1 o'clock because I was also trying to be quiet, pissed trying to be quiet when everyone else in the house is asleep and you're trapped in one of your shoes.
This is tragic, borderline tragic. But I'm hoping
I was just like, again, I was like, you're 47, man. What is going on here? I just went for a quiet, civilised drink with an old friend. It's like, none of this should be panning out the way it is. But
no, it shouldn't.
Entirely my own doing. Anyway, finally, using using some nail scissors, I got the knot undone in the lace, almost stabbed myself through the hand, and then got my shoe off and fell into bed. But so that was it, you know, for a quiet.
This is amazing.
Quite a drink. Proper old school.
It is old school.
Sequence of events.
They feel good.
It kind of did, but I haven't quite felt right today. I don't think I'm tired. Which I'm going to blame primarily
on the boogie.
On the kebab. Yeah. Well, and on the drinking, because that's the problem. I'm not the drinker I once was. So maybe that's part
well,
of
it. Well, I'm enjoying my Guinness right now. It's lovely. Really it's lovely. So authentic.
I'm kind of jealous, just because I know how a good Guinness is a good thing.
It's very nice, and I'm just not used to it. It would be better if the Coors were here, but you can't have it all, Richard.
No.
You can't have it all. But I did today. I have sat in some incredible Blitzen fabric seats in hot opals.
Blitzen fabric.
You know? Do you know the sports seats in hot Mantas and Asconas and stuff have got the opal badge embroidered into a pattern in the sort of Recaro sports seats. Have you seen them? It's called Blitzen fabric, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And it's bloody nice. Excellent.
Yeah,
it's a really cool fabric. It works because we've said this before, I'm sure, on a previous cast. But the opal badge is a cool badge.
It is.
Just looks good, doesn't it? It's aged well. The Vauxhall badge just isn't all that great, even if the products might be. It's just the badge is just not great.
Too much.
But I'm down with the opal.
I always think the sign of a good badge could be how easy it is to just doodle.
Correct.
And be recognisable. And you could do the opal badge. I mean, you know, my 5-year-old daughter could draw the opal badge. It's really simple, but really effective. Vauxhall badge, fairly.
You tried doing the Vauxhall badge. You try doing the tomorrow. So, like tomorrow, or listeners, if you're listening to this on a Monday morning, you just try and draw the. Give yourself best of three. Voxel badge drawing on a post-it or similar, and just see how far you get. See how far you get. See if it looks like a seagull that's doing sort of flexing. See if it's a phoenix rising from the ashes that's slightly crooked, it's got a slightly boxer's face. Just see how it goes, because it will morph into the Skoda badge if you're not careful. Yeah. The Skoda badge is a difficult bugger to imitate.
You're listening to Smith and Sniff and Take Heart.
Yes.
We'll be showing some of your submissions next week.
Well, we will. By all means, take pictures of them and share them with us. We're on Instagram.
Why not?
Do it. I'd see how, I'm not afraid to see these things. As long as there's no unnecessary penises, I'm fine with it. And even if there is, I'm absolutely fine with it. But, why not?
Well, good.
I don't think any car badge has dicks in it, though, does it?
I don't.
Does the Alpina badge have a secret one in there?
No.
You sure? What about AMG? That's got valves and springs and... Couldn't you put a cheeky cock in there? No one would really notice.
Well, the obvious one would be the Ferrari badge, wouldn't it?
Oh, but the Stallion's sort of slightly got a bit of a semi on.
Yeah, or actually the Porsche badge has got a rampant horse in it, hasn't it? So
I wonder if they could change it without anyone really noticing. There was a little dangaloid there that wasn't there for the last 70 years.
If and when you buy yourself a Ferrari, you could always just get a marker pen and put a little...
I could put a bulbous tip on it, couldn't I, on the under tray?
I might. A few people said last week's podcast was quite car-y, and I think some of them meant it as a criticism. So we're certainly making amends for that now. But,
we are.
I was going to put it onto cars just briefly, just for shits and giggles. Well, I was just going to ask if you've seen the new Rolls Royce Spectre.
Is that how you say it? Is it
Spec? No, it's Spectre. I think Spectre.
I have seen quick imagery of it while I was stopping for the coffee in a toilet while I've been on my road trip, but I've not taken it in much. I know it's electric, and I know it's a. It's a concept, not a production ready thing.
No, it's the real deal.
Oh, it's finished.
Yeah.
Oh well, there we go. That's how much I know about the Rolls Royce Sphincter. So, I mustn't say because it looks handsome. So, I think it's about. I think without even knowing any of the spec, it's about time. That's what I would say. About time that them or Bentley just went. Do you know what? We own this quiet car game. Let's do this.
Oh, it's perfect for Rolls, isn't it?
It's perfect.
It's just talky, easy, quiet.
Lovely.
All the stuff you'd want from a Rolls... A Royce, as people, slightly pretentious people, insist on saying. But also, it's quite interesting they've decided their first electric model will be a big coupe. And I was reading some of the interviews around this car, and they're sort of saying, they could have predictably done an SUV... But they wanted to do a real kind of statement car first, and then they'll follow it with other electric models. But apparently they showed it to, I think our friend Alex Goy was saying this on Twitter the other day, they showed it to 300 existing customers and all 300 of them ordered one.
Really?
It's quite interesting, isn't it?
That's amazing.
But apparently the average Royce owner has 7 cars. And probably already has an EV. That was according to someone that we were interviewing from Rolls Royce. And I was thinking, I wonder what they've got. I bet a lot of them have got a Tesla. They'll have a Tesla.
They'll have an S or an X. And they'll... Yeah, but what else have they... And they've got a Phantom or a Dawn. And then they've got, 5 MOT failure Velsartises?
Yeah.
Or they got 2 ready to rock on the road Toyota Picnics and then just 3 or 4 other
definitely
things.
Definitely got a Picnic. Got an old Espace that doesn't actually run.
It's got terrible electrical issues. So you can drive it around at night, but none of the dash works. It still functions as a car. but you don't know what's going on.
You can use the headlights, but if you indicate they go off for some reason, it's dreadfully discoloured. It was blue, but all the plastic panels have really washed out, but at different rates for some reason.
Yeah.
So they've got that. That's it. I mean, it's quite a collection.
It's amazing. Amazing.
The Spectra will go nicely in that next to. They've also, for some reason as well, they've just got like a really basic Peugeot 106. Oh. One of those ones that's a special edition. So, you know, it's called like the Trouser or something.
What's the name of the one with the sliding doors? The
007? Well, no, do you remember they got stinky about that because they got bollocked by the Bond people. They went, here's our new car, it's the 1007. And Eon Productions went, no, it's not. And if you say it is, we'll sue you. And so they had to call it the 1007, I think, didn't they?
The 1007. I've always fancied buying one to just see what it's like.
Did you ever drive one at the time?
No, I never drove one, no.
It was just absolutely toss.
Were they that bad, though?
Really heavy and slow.
Right, and probably thirsty as a result.
Yeah, and those doors were sort of... You kind of went, ooh, this is fun for a bit, and then after a while you just went, oh, no, it's not. They're slightly inconvenient because they don't go quick enough. So you go to get out and you realise that, you know, you can basically set the tempo with how quickly you open a normal car door. I want to get out in a hurry. Ooh, I'll do that.
So is it like those
to motorise? Jesus Christ!
Is it like those electric toilet doors on trains that we have in the UK?
Yes, okay. yes, exactly that. Where they're not quite quick enough.
Yeah,
and yet you feel like if they malfunctioned, they would whip open like a fucking barn door in a storm.
You know,
and
they
reveal
would.
Your bottom to the train.
You know that. Oh gosh.
I don't like those train doors.
No, I don't. I'm always worried.
It's locked. Is it, though? Is it really? Because this all feels like it relies on electricity and it could go wrong.
Exactly.
Like
I want a physical bolt. I don't need to rely on some sort of electro lock with an LED light that goes, honest, it's locked. I'm truly believing it's locked. No, just give me an old-fashioned bolt. Then I can see it. It's not broken. It's easy. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Well,
yes. The other thing I was going to raise, which I meant to mention to you weeks ago, also an electric car, is that new Smart?
Yes. Sorry, someone's banging lots of hotel doors near me.
The Smart hashtag one. Have you seen this? It's the new Smart, which has been made in association with Geely of China.
Yes, I have seen it. And I'm precious about Smart. I don't know how I feel about it.
It's not very small, is it? I mean, it's not massive.
No, but that's sort of, you know, it's a Smart. That's what they did. They were roomy but tiny. Sort of their thing.
What caught my eye about this, I think you are supposed to call it the hashtag one.
Really? Hashtag one?
Yeah, and it's got a real whiff of, you know, that meme with Steve Buscemi with a baseball cap and a skateboard going, hello, fellow kids. It's that, isn't it? This is like they've had a marketing meeting and gone, what do young people like? Oh, hashtags. They love hashtags. Let's call it the hashtag one. And
the
striking thing for me is that the Brabus version has 422 horsepower. I just went,
that's
frigging crackers. It's a small hatchback.
Yeah. Was there a breakdown in comms? It should have been like 222.
I don't know.
But someone just changed the number. That's way more.
It's just, I mean, I just think that's stupid. I don't see the point. And this brings me on to something that has occurred to me a few times recently, inspired by an incident I had at a roundabout near Bristol someone in a Tesla.
Okay.
What I've realised is electric cars, most of them, have pretty keen response, don't they, from the off. And, of course, all the torque is there as soon as you want it.
Yeah.
And when it comes to merging onto a roundabout, you know that some people, particularly sort of indecisive driver, you go, oh, there's someone coming. I think I can beat them. No, I won't. And you can probably sort of apply a bit of throttle and then have second thoughts and lift off, and it's fine. An internal combustion car, actually almost nothing's happened, particularly if it's got a clutch that you're operating yourself.
Yeah.
Electric car... You go, I think I'm going to go, put some throttle on. No, actually, no, I'm not. By the time you've thought that, you're actually already launching across the roundabout, which is what this guy in a Tesla Model 3 did to me. I saw him and I was like, is he going for it? Oh my God. And he really cut across my bows at quite a lick. I was a bit like, is he done that deliberately because he knows he's got that oomph, or has he accidentally sort of gone, I think I'm going to go, and then realised he was in deep? I don't know. But
did he go across the actual middle of the roundabout, you know, which is sponsored
not
by
quite,
someone
but it was,
and landscaped?
He did, though, go straight over in a way that looked like maybe that's not what he first intended to do. And I thought, particularly because that it was just odd. And I thought, this is going to be a growing problem that you know, most EVs have a lot of power, but also a lot of torque that is instantly accessible in a way that people coming from internal combustion cars are not used to.
No, because there's no lull, is there? So it's
So there's capacity for a lot of really cockeyed accidents to happen in sort of roundabouts and junctions and things. Just a thought.
No,
maybe I'm wrong, but it just occurred to me that might be an issue, particularly if you've got a very small Brabus Smart hashtag one with 422 horsepower.
Well, I think the more I drive electric hot / mild hatches, is the more I realise the performance mode button that you have available to you, the intense mode, whatever it is, I just don't use it, because I go, actually, what do I value more? A comfortable ride and half decent range ability. Mm. And unless I've got 80% of the battery left and I've got to just do 20 miles and then I know it's going on charge, in which case you can just squirt it for all it's worth, I just tend to go, yeah, I might go hard here, but you know what? I'd more rather just conserve my battery a little bit. And so maybe that makes me a boring bastard. But what I do now is I counteract it with drum and bass. So like last night, I was, instead of going into performance mode, this is what I do now. I've just decided to do it. I immediately put BBC Sounds on and I was listening to the drum and bass mix. So instead of pressing, my finger was hovering over the performance EV button, the intense mode, whatever you want to call it. I thought, no, I'll go intense, audio intensity, but actual still be hypermiling. And it's quite a nice feeling. Let me tell you that, Richard. It's quite a nice feeling. So I was bouncing away, really roasting the speakers, whilst still getting at least 4 miles to the kilowatt hour. And that's progress.
I didn't tell you, or did I tell you? I can't remember if I played it to you. You know, a few weeks ago, and I was desperately trying to avoid doing proper work by instead knobbing around making little bits of music, and I made that Fiat Uno sort of stuff. But I, did I tell you that I made a drum and bass version of our theme tune?
I don't think you did. Did you?
Yeah. Oh, maybe. I thought, good? I remember I sent it to you. Is it good? I wouldn't go that far. It's noisy and fast, but and it's only like, you know, 10 seconds long or so. We'll play out the show with it if I can dig it.
Please
out.
Do. And, please do. It might be a good one. Yeah. I like that.
I just, the way I got started, which I imagine is how most drum and bass back in the day got started, is you dig out the funky drummer sample and then speed it up to an idiotic degree. And that's about how drum and bass should be made if you're doing it properly.
I like dirty drum and bass, but I also like soulful, slightly vocal drum and bass. So I like both ends of the spectrum, I feel.
Yeah, I like that sort of gentle, it's probably got a subgenre name, hasn't it? But there's a kind of gentle version which is like really sort of skittery, fast beats, but then the rest of the music is quite soft.
Mellow, melodic. Yeah, that's. I think that is soulful drum and bass, I think.
Is it?
I think so. I'll ask some drum and bassists next time I see them.
God, what are they called? Higley or something, and someone else that used to do. I have to look this up now. Bother me. But in the meantime, also, by the way, never let it be said that I don't listen to you, because I have booked in to borrow 2 cars in the next month that are ones that I thought I've got to try these because you've told me they're so good.
Oh,
which is the MG4 and the Kia EV6.
There we go. They are good. They're both very good.
I'll report back. But yeah, but you were so effusive in your praise for them that I thought, well, I'll, you know.
MG4 is a proper disruptor. MG4 is pissing a lot of OEMs off right now, I'm going to say.
You think?
I do. It's a hell of a package. It's a hell of a package, guys. I'm telling you now. Guys, listen.
Oh, this is the track I was thinking of. I won't play it for copyright reasons. España by The Good, Too Bad and Hugly.
Oh,
okay. And it's got a drum and bass track, but melodic and excellent. I'll put a link to it in the
do it, show Richard.
Notes for patrons.
Fire that off. Pull that trigger.
It's a lovely track. Now, I also, I've, my little things I've jotted down to talk to you about this week.
Yeah,
I've got to ask you.
Yeah.
How did the school careers talk go?
Oh, yeah. It was daunting and I didn't have any idea what to expect. And I got quite a wide spectrum of people, of kids, coming along. And some of them were very eager with their questions. Some of them kind of just stood there I can imagine going to a comedy night where you're like, right, I've turned up for comedy. Impress me. Make me laugh now. And I felt under the spotlight and slightly pressurised. So then I did the kind of talking for two people because I said, look, if you're unsure of what to ask, but you feel like you're interested in the general subject of journalism and media and how this world kind of works, there's a lot of skills which apply. And I just went into sort of a quick blast of how I got into it, why I like it, what sort of skills I think will apply well to it. So if you've got them, you might be thinking along the right lines. And I think by the end of it, I realised I'd only drunk coffee and I'd not drunk any water. And I had a sort of very tight head because I'd done loads of talking. I'd done loads of talking and not enough drinking. So
tight head.
I had a very tight head. And And I didn't bring any visual stimulus with me. Some of the other, there were some other people who were there doing, there was a lady who does the marketing for Victoria's Secret, and I don't think I could compete with that.
Oh.
She brought lots
She brought pictures as well for she all these brought, teenage boys.
Billboards. There were some billboards and stuff and some like interesting backdrops. I had none of that chisel.
So, I thought you were going to say she does the marketing for Victoria Sponge Cakes. I think they sell themselves, don't they? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Vicky's Secret and all that. So they were doing that. And it was a really wide, varied bunch, as you'd expect. But on the whole, it was good. I could see that there was a small chance that I ignited a bit of inspiration in a couple of people's eyes. Don't know. I guess that's the point of being a grown-up and talking to engaged young people, is it? It's like bring them in, reel them in, encourage them, only encourage, don't discourage, and kind of tell the truth. Don't spin them a yarn of BS, which I found quite difficult because, you know, I'm probably quite good at doing that. So I left my BS webs at home that day. And it was really good. I had one person kind of going, I never thought I could do a job involving cars using the subjects that I really like. And I went, well, almost certainly you can. And they were more interested in things like R&D, you know, in engineering. And I just started reeling off as quickly as I could, like all the jobs involved in the car industry. And I said, I couldn't possibly stand here and tell you how many there are. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And they everything from, you know, sensors for crash protection to actually being a test driver to, you know, learning about different suspension to, different tensiles of materials and the lightness and the strength and the cost of materials. I mean, there's everything, isn't there? Everything. But they were, I just said to them, look, basically, you don't exactly know what you want to do yet because you probably don't exactly know how many jobs there are in the general sphere of what you're interested in.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
And so just go forth and kind of explore the rough sphere of what you think you're into, and you will probably find there's a job in there that would suit you, and there's go for it. And if it doesn't quite work, there's probably a little spur off at some point, of which I think we've all had. I've had a couple of spur offs, and they'll take you down a path which is similar but not the same, and maybe suits you a bit more. And with that, I downed 7 shots of apple sours and I walked out the building, leaving my laptop on full display, unlocked.
Threw the last shot glass over your shoulder.
I did.
And just walked.
Yeah. I did, in the school library.
Peace out.
Yeah, that's right.
Bitches. And then you were gone.
Yes, so long. I said so long, bitches, to the careers officers. And then I went, yeah, so that was good, actually.
Sayonara, squares. He screamed.
Screaming.
As he then tried to walk. He walked out of an alarmed fire door into the playing field.
I just went, screaming again, and go home. I just walked straight out. Anyway, so yeah, that was cool.
That reminds me, I had to do a talk once when I worked at the BBC about how you write scripts.
Oh, did you?
I suddenly realised I didn't really know what I was talking about. But I had that moment that you had where there were other people going before me and they'd all clearly done loads of prep and they'd brought in...
visuals.
Like, visuals. They were playing stuff on the big TV at the front.
Yeah, that's just a lot.
And they'd got things to hand out and I had nothing.
Oh, gosh. You have to replace it with your voice. With your voice. Interesting voice.
I just hadn't prepared enough and I was sort of trying to think, what else can I say here? And I was sitting there. And then it was on the top floor of a BBC building in White City in West London. And suddenly from this, because I had quite a good view across the area, I suddenly saw a Eurostar train go past.
Oh.
And this is when the Eurostars used to go out of Waterloo. And I was totally distracted by it. And I was like, why is there a Eurostar going here? This is West London. Where could it be going? It wouldn't be going to Paddington. Why is it going on the tracks here? I wonder if they service them near here. Where would that be then? And I suddenly realised I'd gone down like a sort of a rabbit hole of thought that was unhelpful to doing a talk about how to write factual scripts for the BBC. It was fine. I bullshitted my way through, but never got asked to do another one, which I think is probably quite telling.
I was about to ask you their question. Yeah, and they loved it so much. I've been booked 4 times.
Yeah. No. They loved it so much, they went, let's keep this precious. Let's not try and repeat. You had lightning in a bottle the way that you transparently just bullshitted your way through about 15 minutes of nothing.
Yes.
Let's not try and do that again. Let's keep it for precious memories for those who were there.
Keep it for shits and giggles, Richard.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm glad it went well. I'm glad you were able to sort of inspire. How old are these kids? They're teenagers that you were talking to.
Yeah, they're teenagers. Yeah, they vary from about 13 to 16, something like that. So I was trying to fathom out which ones were going to be the toughest crowds. But yeah, I think on the whole, I survived. I did okay. Yes. And what did I drive there in? I'm trying to remember. I think it was a Cupra Born.
Please, your Dodge. Say it was your Dodge.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a big smelly Dodge because I thought I was going to be progressive and I'd be in an EV anyway because I was trying to explain to a couple of them about the fact that, you know, there's this wide interest in the car world and you can be future, you can be past as well. It's okay. Just like you can enjoy a bit of vintage fashion, but also look at high fashion, you know. So, yeah, I think I sounded like I knew what I was talking about. So I'm okay with
it. Well, that's half the battle, really.
And, well, listeners of this podcast will know that we've got our shit together. And I got a bit distracted, not in the same way that you did with the Eurostar. Have you ever heard of a company called Julliez or Julliez? I think they're a coach builder of vehicles.
Julliez, the ones who used to build lorries.
Yes, and coaches.
H-U-E-L-I-Z?
H-E-U-L-I-E-Z. Is that
H-E-U-L-I-E-Z?
Julies?
Julies.
Julies.
Yes, Julies.
Yeah,
me, they're French.
Me and... Are they French?
Apparently so.
Right. Have you ever seen the Julies Renault Traffic?
No. Is it good?
It's amazing. And I think, I don't know if they really exist or whether they didn't go beyond a handful of prototypes, but I feel like I need to buy one. We're talking first gen traffic, sort of.
Okay, hang on.
Which is 80s, is it?
Traffic with one F. Yes. What are we looking at here? I'm not seeing. I associate Julies with, I think they used to make the estate versions of Citroens for Citroen.
Did they?
They used to make, I think, certainly the XM estate. Because
that's a great
they
car.
Worked out that they're sort of the estates were lower volume. They used to farm out the construction to. I reckon if it's French, are they Julies or Julier?
Oh, they could be Julier.
Said
Julier.
Julier.
Me and Julier down by Julier. The schoolyard. Yes.
Yeah.
Off of Paul's side.
Yeah, I think they used to. So Citroën used to sort of half build XMs on their line and then send them over to Julier. Yeah. To have the back bit put on for some reason.
I now want to buy an XM Maybe estate.
Somebody told me from one of my boring car trivia books that the XM estate, the rear doors are slightly different, but it's all just sort of, it's all cobbled together. There's basically sort of like a plastic cap on the top of them to make it fit the estate roofline.
Oh, gosh.
That Ulier used to put on there.
They are French, you're absolutely right. And
I can't find this Renault Traffic. Well, what am I looking for? Is it?
I don't know. I think it's just. I don't know if it's got another model name, but I've just found a picture of it. I'm fixated with it.
What does it look
like?
But
in the meantime, look up the Julies Intruder. I'm sure you've heard of that. Honestly, look it up.
Is this safe to Google?
Yes, yes. There's no veiny prongs in it or anything. It's just a car. Oh. It's a very unusual car.
Wow.
Isn't it?
Gosh, I don't think we've ever seen this.
No, I'd never heard of it either. It's brilliant.
It's got a strong sort of SLK goes crossover sort of vibe to it.
Ultra short wheelbase, possibly looking a little bit aquatic. I love it. Yeah. I think it looks brilliant. And the back, it's almost a BMW Z8.
Oh, yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
Well,
there we go. It's very visual, and that's why it doesn't work on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, again, I'll put the link for patrons in the show notes. God, it's got a short wheelbase.
It's got a very short wheelbase, hasn't it?
A really unusual ride to it.
That thing's going to seesaw like crazy.
Okay.
But yeah.
Actually, hang on. I'm looking at this thing about this Anal Invader or whatever it's called. And it says that Julier also built the Renault 5 Turbo and the road-going versions of the Peugeot 205 T16.
Oh, shit the bed. I didn't know that. Well, okay, Julier.
They are. Julier. But they. I guess they're basically like a sort of contract assembly operation. They're not, they really. They do a lot of sort of... I'm trying to think what the equivalent would be. Well, maybe sort of Tickford or somebody used to do a bit of that, but
I always think Tickford sounds like if it was muttered in a sort of like soft but aggressive Essex Cockney tone, it would be an insult, wouldn't it? But I don't know what it would, don't know what it would entail. Oh, you've only gone and done that, haven't you? Oh, you dirty little Tickford. Don't you do that again.
We talked about this before, though. How I always think that Cockney insults are rubbish. Like,
of course they are.
Melt is the most pathetic insult.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like throwing a tissue at somebody. You just go, what was that?
You melt.
Just breeze down my arm. Oh, it was a Cockney throwing a tissue at me. You know, what are you doing? You melt.
Yeah.
Is that meant to be an insult? Because it's not. It's rubbish. And pranny as well. Don't they say pranny? And you just go, that is genuinely
pranny.
I'm insulted that you've used that. It's such a... Yeah, I'm sure Cockneys say pranny. It probably means something really
rude.
Yeah,
it must be. I bet it's rude.
Pathetic. Oh, well, it does. Yeah, okay, it's a bit rude.
Let's bring it back to cars. I've realised spolts. There's a lot of spolt badging in showers. Have you noticed this?
Yes.
Well, what... I had a shower in the hotel this morning And I noticed my shower, which was quite powerful, admittedly, was a Myra Sport Max. and you just go, hang the hell on. How is a shower sporty? What's going on? What sport are we talking about? Don't say water sports.
The sport of having a shower.
It's
rubbish, isn't it?
It's just not a thing. Why would it be sporty? Cleanliness is cleanliness, and being refreshed is being refreshed and invigorated. None of the above are sports, are they? So I just don't. No. I simply don't understand why the word sport should ever appear on a shower. But
it's the shower industry has been taking a leaf out of the caravan industry's book, surely.
Oh, completely.
In giving really mundane things really overdramatic names, because otherwise I don't get it. I don't get it.
Anybody experienced this before? It's the word sport on shower.
Shower. I was trying to think. I remember staying at a mate's house and he had one of those. They're usually power showers, aren't they? They've got the over-the-top
names.
Yeah,
they are, yeah.
Because they have the casing that you put the things on. And I remember they had a shower. They've put a new bathroom in now, so it's long gone. But when they bought their house, it had a power shower with a ridiculously over a top name, you know, sort of like Aqua Hammer or something. But I always used to stay over there. I'd be like, who the frig signed this off? It's like, it's a shower.
It's a shower. This is what I mean. In. What's going on?
Well, I mean, I'm sort of loath to pursue this anymore because, my goodness, we're still getting a lot of pictures of air towels.
Jet towels.
Sorry, jet towels.
Get it right.
But I don't know. Some comedy, over-the-top, needlessly punchy power shower names would be a little change in exercise. So, keep them peeled, people.
Sporty showers. Show us your sporty showers.
Sporty showers.
That's a comedy insult. It's a Cockney insult.
Sporty shower.
You sporty shower. Don't you dare stare at me like that again. It is, isn't it? Sporty
it is,
shower.
Yeah.
Don't you dare. Yeah. Don't you fucking dare. You look at me like that again. You sporty shower. Well, in Ireland, I have noticed something. I don't like the number plates. There's a lot of it's like a bold, rubbish-looking font on the number plates.
Yes.
And I find it irritating.
They're a bit sort of messy somehow, aren't they? There's too much.
They are messy. They're squashed a bit, but they're in bold.
Mm.
Someone's messed with the, what's the ratio of squash and.
Yes.
Someone's messed with the ratio of the numbers. It doesn't quite work. And I want to just go around and correct everyone's number plate, but just replacing them. But don't worry, I'm not a control freak, so it's okay. But
I know exactly what you mean. It's just, it's not one of the world's, no offence to our Irish listeners, but not one of the world's great
some
number
great
plates,
ones.
Is it?
I like the trad Irish ones, the older ones. They're good.
Silver on black.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I, there's a lot of old and Irish plates which work, or the little IRL in the left-hand side or whatever. Mm. These ones with the sort of bold type face, I don't think they work. Finding that a bit upsetting. It's a bit like you. I know you're particular about your fonts, Richard. I know I'm not the only one here. You know, you like.
I know you mentioned this.
You know what you like. You like what you know.
Yeah, I do. But I also feel like the Irish plates have followed the same trajectory as French plates. They used to be incredibly stylish and cool, silver on black.
Mm.
And then they've just gone a bit sort of generic and blur and a bit messy, like there's slightly too much going on, and it what's the opposite of improves? Damages.
Detracts.
Detracts, that's the one, from the looks.
Slurry, is that the opposite? It probably is.
Do you ever see a car on the street with no number plates on it? And it looks odd. If it's an older car, I assume it's been abandoned.
Because
It used to happen back when scrap was real low, I think.
Oh, people would tear the plates off.
Yeah, there was a dark street by the well-known Highgate Cemetery in North London.
Yes.
Down the back of there.
There was
a dark street. You probably know the one I mean. And that used to be an absolutely rife with dumped cars with the plates taken off.
Yeah, we did.
Back in the day, I used to
frequent there. I did. Yeah, I used to enjoy it. I used to love finding abandoned cars. Mm. Like a mad cat lady, but wanting to save cars instead of the cats. And also not a lady, just want to put that out there. But yeah, yeah.
I saw yesterday a brand new Toyota Aygo X, you know, that new...
Oh, the new Aygo. Pretendy crossover thing.
Yeah, quite an interesting looking car. I just saw on the street, just parked up, and it had no plates on it. Because I was approaching it from behind, and I was like, oh, it's got no back number plate. Oh, my, is that new, isn't it? It's a new Aygo X. I wonder if someone's just bought it and the plate's fallen off because it wasn't attached properly. And then I got to the front, and that didn't have a plate either. I was just like, this is a bit odd. On a public street.
That is odd.
It looks like something's, you know, someone's up to no good. But it was a brand new car.
Had it fallen off the transporter and just neatly rolled into a parking space? Did it still have a bit of cellophane on the wheel trims and stuff?
That's weird, because it wasn't neatly parked, as in it was sort of on its own on a stretch of road where there were no other cars very nearby. And also it was quite badly positioned, like as in it was slightly too far away from the curb, well, and a little bit more of an angle. So
it's been fallen off a transporter.
It's literally fallen off the back of a lorry. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. But yes, well, anyway.
These things have happened.
I was going to say, it's gone now. Actually, I haven't been back past it. Maybe it hasn't. Maybe I should go and claim it. Maybe it's got the keys in it. Because I'd quite like a go in that. I think it looks quite jolly, that Aygo X.
I think it looks jolly too. I think there's some good Toyotas, good looking Toyotas around at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to keep... I know you bought a car when you shouldn't have bought a car fairly recently. Yes. We should probably touch on that slightly. But are you going to keep sending me links for cars that I should be buying at the moment? Because I might have...
I was enjoying that.
...casually game. Mentioned that I might need a four-seater that's very cheap to buy just because I can't do the school run in the inside. And I'd like to buy an Ioniq 5, but I can't find a good lease, blah, blah, effing blah.
Mm.
Yeah, you enjoyed that game. You got properly into it. You were firing the links off to me in the dead of night.
I can't remember why. What was I doing or not doing? Maybe my wife was out. Oh, no, she was ill.
Oh, was she?
She was ill and she'd gone to bed early because she was feeling rancid and the kids were in bed. And I was just a bit like, you know, when you sort of, you find yourself at a bit of a loose end. And I, and we're kind of in the middle of some, you know, streaming service TV shows where I was like...
I can relate.
I need to wait for her to watch these. So I just found myself at this kind of like, eh, I don't know what to do with myself. And then you were going, oh, well, I need this four-seater car, something cheap but serviceable.
Yeah.
And I think I was like, well, this is my task for the rest of the evening. I'm just going to...
You did some great ones.
I did.
Great ones.
Well, I did the old deceased... spec test.
Oh, what a test it is.
With max price. I think I did $2,000 or $2,500. Max mileage, 30,000.
That Mazda 121 that you sent me with the full-length ragtop that was bright canary yellow.
Yes.
It had done some absurdly low mileage. It was hideous, but also it attracted me in the same vein.
Well, now, here's the funny thing. When you didn't bite on that 121, I was then talking... to someone else that I know who is in the market for a similar sort of thing to you, and I tried to get him to bite on that bright yellow 121, no dice. But then a listener sent it to us.
Did they?
Out of the blue, and now I can't flipping find it, of course. But I wonder where that would be. God knows. I can't remember which channel they. We have too many lines of communication. That's the thing.
Yeah, I feel like we do.
You know, what's that Paul Simon song about 50 ways to leave your lover? Well, there's also 50 ways to get in touch with us, and that's why we could never find anything where we
It's so true.
I'm so sorry. If you're listening and you went, that was me, I sent you that bastard Mazda. But they sent it, they just went, have you seen this? And I didn't know until I clicked the link it was that same car. So anyway, you're not going to buy that. Are you going to Is there anything that's piqued your interest?
You know there is. You know there is. You absolute. You automotive hawk, you.
I think it's been two.
It's been taken.
Days since
the Jag
last mentioned this.
Oh, yeah. Is this the Jag or is this the El Grand?
I was thinking of the Jag.
Look, I'm gonna just gonna put my cards on the table here, listeners. I suddenly thought, oh, I just want something. I mean, cars are silly expensive at the moment anyway for what they are. I still want to pay under 1,500 quid if I can, but I don't want something haggard. So go for something that nobody wants to tax and kind of live with for, at the moment. And I thought, oh, S-Type Jaguar. I have always liked them. They do some tasteful spec ones. And then and then I found a couple of Spalt models that were kind of de-chromed, aren't they? And then I thought, then I've just suddenly stumbled across the one that I sent you that was Manuel. And I thought, bloody hell, I didn't even know they forgot they did an S-Type Manuel.
Well, I couldn't believe that you, cause that one you sent me originally, which has gone now.
It has gone. It's sold.
The facelift. I didn't know they were still doing Manuel in the facelift in the lower petrol engines.
I think that's a rare car. I feel like I should have bought it unseen. But it's gone. So, yeah, a 2.5 litre, or they did do a 3 as well, didn't they? V6, Spalt, 5-speed Manuel on the S-Type. And these cars are under 1,800 quid, a lot of them. Some of them are closer to a grand. And I'm thinking, well, that's cool. Does anybody have experience of these? Is the gearbox any good? I don't really know, but I'm keen to know.
Write in if you know. I'd like to try it just to see if it's a hidden gem.
Yeah.
I checked with someone we know who's ex-Jag, who's an engineer, about those cars, and he reckoned that facelifted S-Type, the 2004 model year, the X204 in Jag codes, is as good as it gets because it had some extra suspension goodness. I forget what. But reckon that engine might be a bit... It needs it's revvy, but it's not very powerful.
No.
And I reckon the S-Type's heavy, isn't it? I think it could feel a bit, you know.
I could take reckless. Some stuff out of it, couldn't I? I'd take the headlining and the carpet out.
Good idea. Yeah, take some of the glass out, replace it with perspex, or netting.
Oh, like NASCAR netting. NASCAR.
Yeah,
just net it. But you since found another Manuel, that one looks really good. And
with the red seats.
Yeah, the one with the oxblood leather inside. I'm thinking that looks a bit jingle.
I'm a sucker for a red leather seat in a black car. I think it could work in that.
It works well in a black car. It's a good combo that. But I don't know. I kind of want a sort of. I want a boxy MPV in some ways that nobody really wants, that's fairly low mileage and just is there. And I think a kind of box for the children that I can use to lug car parts around and household-related detritus could be a good thing. So if anybody's got one, I don't want to pay a lot of money, okay? But I do. I don't want a shit car. I'm a very picky bastard.
Please sell me your extremely nice car for less money than you would.
That's right.
Like to let it go.
So
for. That's
see,
the deal, okay?
See that 5 Series estate that you've recently bought. That's in excellent condition. I want to buy that for £1,000. Contact me now. At hello at the Late Break Show. No, not the Late Break Show. Hello no.
at smithandsniff.com.
Do that.
Hello at smithandsniff.com. I found the message. Two things. First of all, yes, apparently the X204 version of the S-Type, the 2004 model year onwards car. Low friction grease throughout the suspension, apparently. That's the secret, the special sauce there.
Oh.
And it was Daryl Bennett who sent us that Mazda. He said, another rather dull evening at work, we descended into the depths of Auto Trader to play Who Can Find the Best Yellow Car, a brilliant game which always causes a stir amongst the collection of petrol heads I work with. And he sent us that Mazda.
The Best Yellow Car, what a brilliant game that I've not played.
Yeah, it's a good game, isn't it? We have to try that one. And also, while I was looking at this, Daryl actually loses points because he sent his message to our old email address. Which I'm not going to give out.
No, I like that.
Supposed to use it anyway.
Yeah, I quite like it. I feel like it's a safe zone.
While I was looking through the other email address, docking marks from Richard Hill as well, who sent a message to the wrong email address. But at the same time, I quite like this because he said that the November issue of Car Mechanics, their new project car, is a Panda 100 horsepower.
Get out.
Let's go and have a look at that.
Well, you might have to go and look at yours, which is at the end of your street, banished from the drive.
I said last week I'd say what happens with the aircon in it, and it's not really a fault. I think it's a characteristic from memory because it's got climate control.
Yeah.
But if you turn the aircon off, but then you select a temperature where the car thinks that it should, using the aircon to achieve that temperature, the number on the display flashes almost to chide you. So if you say, oh, I want it to be 19 degrees, but I'm turning the aircon off, which I was only doing because I wanted to see if it had any effect on the performance.
Well, it will do.
And, yeah, the car just sort of gets mildly sort of passive-aggressive. It's just flashing the temperature, and it's a bit annoying, so I ended up turning the aircon back on again because it was just irritating me having this flashing number.
No, you've been drawn into the con. You've been conned by the con.
You think big con has got to the...
It's a massive con.
Infiltrated fear in the 2000s.
Yeah, the flat earther in me is going, don't use the con. Don't use the con. It's a faggy con. Don't use the con.
Well,
I don't know whether
to
buy a really cheap car. But I
think you should. I'm just going to keep sending you stuff. And I now imagine that readers will as well. Readers, listeners, whoever they are.
I'd like an estate car, but also the MPV. I mean, if I could find one that is the kind of money I'm talking about and not really frilly and horrid and been, I don't know, had milk spilt in it or vomit, then then I'd quite like a Nissan Elgrand. I do like I do like the sort of JDM people carrier that's fully specced unnecessarily.
We'll come back to this next week and we'll see, A, has Johnny bought a car, or B, has Johnny been inundated with people going, hey, I've just found a Seo Penza for sale and I think you should buy it, even though it's completely rusty and someone's done a milky burp in it. But I don't know. We'll see. This could run and run. Who knows? Or you could just shut it off at the pass by... Or head it off at the pass.
Shut it off at the pass.
Shut it off at the pass.
Is that power-assisted steering?
Yes. Oh, quite tired.
Yeah.
It's last night catching up on me.
This Guinness is heavy.
Yeah.
I need a nightcap with the cause to help me.
Just pop down to the hotel bar, see if they're...
They'll be down there. Yeah. Rebel without a cause. I'll be the rebel.
You're the rebel without the
and
cause.
And I don't have the cause. Yes.
All right, well, before we go, I've got three things to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Scrape Plate Show, in which Johnny carefully manoeuvres leftover food into a recycling bin with a knife this week. It's small bits of vegetable moussaka. If that's not to your taste, then there's, of course, The Late Break Show. Lots of excellent videos on there, including... what was I just watching? Oh, and I watched your Polestar 3. It's a very good preview that we were talking about last week.
It was rushed.
Didn't feel it, but you did a good job. I could sense, you know, I knew, knowing the circumstances you were in, it's like, oh god, he's probably got like 10 minutes in that room with that car, and there's a queue of other people outside, so no pressure. But you know, I thought it was good. Second thing I've got to tell you is I've got various books out. One of them is called Steel Flies. It's a spoof Cold War thriller from the 80s written by fake car journalist Roy Lanchester. And the third thing I've got to tell you is that Chris Martin out of Coldplay. We know who he is.
Yeah.
But did you know that his great-great-grandfather invented daylight savings time?
Really?
He was the man who pushed for the clocks to go forward and back to create daylight savings
time. I don't know how I feel about that. Because... well,
nor do I. I sort of feel like that's not a brilliant fact.
No, it is. It is a good fact. It is. I'm just a bit upset because I don't know about the idea of the changing of the clocks. I think it's just annoying these days and we should just leave it be.
I wonder if that's why Chris Martin wrote the Coldplay song Clocks.
I bet it.
If it's about his great-great-grandfather.
It's just one of their, it's probably their best song of all time.
Now, we really do have to stop, but I cannot let this pass.
Why?
And now, of course, I can't freaking find it. Somebody sent us a version of You're the Voice, which we discussed couple of podcasts ago, whenever it was.
Is it a Halloween lantern that's actually made of skin?
No.
Right, okay. What? I'm just asking. God. Just asking.
What's wrong with you? No, it's a it's You're the Voice being performed by Coldplay.
Oh.
With Peter Farnham.
John.
Coming on. John Farnham, sorry.
I mean, there might be a Peter. It might be his brother. I don't know.
God, it's so annoying. I can't find this email now. To say thank you to the person who sent it to us. Ah, God damn it. That's so annoying. I'm so sorry if... Here it is. Colin Hill. Colin, thank you so much. He said, I'll put the link up for patrons. Live Coldplay on stage in Australia.
Oh.
And Chris Martin says, we're now going to do the Australian national anthem. And they start doing Your Voice. John Farnham comes on. The crowd goes bananas. Oh. It's extremely uplifting.
Wow. So he knew, Martin knew all along that that was their.
Exactly, yeah.
He does his research, does Chris.
All right, well, anyway, you finish your Guinness. I'm just going to go and lie down for a bit because we're recording this in the evening, by the way. Johnny's not having a Guinness for breakfast. Just
no. Clear. Although pre-war, worried, it was advised for people who are feeling a little bit weak.
Yeah, but it's the iron, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the iron in it. Okay, well, we will do this all again next week. But until then, thank you ever so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye now. Gulliver's Travels, like where did he travel to? I mean, like,
imagine if because he was massive.
Imagine if Gulliver's JDM MPV that is quite long wheelbase, it could just about fit him in, scraping a little bit, and he just
Gulliver's Alphard.
Yeah. Oh yeah, got a bit. I've got a touch of Gulliver's Alphard. I bet you have.
Sounds like one of those diseases that they've eradicated in the 70s. They just don't see it.
Like polio. Gulliver's
Alphard causes your fingers to go weird.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.